estás?
Good evening. You know, I kind of have mixed feelings about speaking after Josh Wyatt. You know, he's a professional preacher. And usually I'm like, oh, the quality's going to be mad. Everybody's going to throw tomatoes at me. I'll be really worried. And then I'm like, hey, wait a minute. My lesson's always short. Everybody be really excited. 2 minutes, no problem. We got that covered. All right, if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 8. The title of my lesson, as Jared said, is The Way to Deal with Others. And actually, everybody needs to thank my wife, because as I'm writing my lesson, I keep adding more and more. And finally, she told me to quit because it's long enough, and nobody likes a long lesson anyway. So you can thank her later for my 2 minute lesson. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Let's read that real quick. And it said, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds in the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now, there's a lot of different lessons you can take from this section of scriptures. And what we have here, there's a great storm. And I was doing some research, and evidently, the Sea of Galilee was a big body of water surrounded by mountains. And the breezes were common, I guess they still are, would go through the mountains and cause great storms, because of the humidity and all that from the sea. And it's been known, the Sea of Galilee has been known to have 30-foot waves, which is pretty cool. And if you imagine back in this time, I'm sure the quality of boats wasn't the highest. So having 30-foot waves crash you could be a cause for concern. But as I read this text and I think about it, I think about the people, and at this time, they're all going crazy. They're like, we're going to die. There's a boat. There's high waves coming, and it's just not going to be good. And Jesus, he woke up, he was tired, he was passed out, he's tired, and he wakes up, and he notices everybody's going crazy. And instead of acting crazy along with these people and panicking, he calmed the seas. And then he took the advantage and said, why are you having such a little faith in me? And so he took a bad situation, and he used it as an opportunity to teach others. And as I thought about this lesson, the one that Jared gave me, I thought about, you know, as we go throughout our lives and we're dealing with others, we're going to face situations where people act crazy or not the way that they should. And then we have a decision to make. Will we join in with their crazy act, or will we stay away from it? And no matter what the decision we make, we're going to teach the other people around us something about us. We're either going to teach them that we love God or we love serving him, or we're going to teach them that we like to follow in the worldly living that they're showing you. Tonight, what I want us to focus on briefly is what to watch out for from other people and the ways to teach other about our desire to follow God and his commandments. So first, let's look at what should be on the lookout for. Turn with me to James chapter 1. And I'm getting ready to throw a lot of verses out at you, so if you're going to take notes, better write quick. James chapter 1. Let's read verses 12 through 18. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So what are we going to be on the lookout for from other people? The biggest thing is the temptation from the devil. Verse 14 gives us the definition of temptation, and we see it's an attempt to draw us away. So we know we need to look out for temptation, but why are we worried about temptation? Well, in verses 14 and 15, you read that temptation can lead you to sin, which will ultimately lead you to death. So we know in the consequences of sin, it makes sense for us as we deal with others to, first of all, put yourself in a situation where the people you choose to hang out with are going to help you make the right decisions. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 warns you that the devil is looking out for us, and you don't know when he's going to try to strike you, but you know that he is going to strike you. It talks about him being a lion seeking who can devour. So I remember watching Survivor Man on TV, and he's out in Africa. And one of his biggest concerns was being eaten by lions, because you never know where they're going to strike. And it's the same thing. You never know when the devil's going to strike, but you know that he will. So who can be tempted? In verse 14, it tells you every man is tempted. Every one of us will be tempted. And you think about examples, probably the greatest example we have is Christ, and we know that he was tempted. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, the devil tempts Christ three times, but every time Christ quotes scripture, and he's able to defend himself against these temptations. And one of the things that always strikes me when I read that is, notice the importance of God's word. Every time Jesus was able to thwart off the devil himself by quoting scripture. So if Christ can be tempted, we know that we can be tempted, as verse 14 says. 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us no one is safe, and we all need to be on the lookout, striving to do what is right in the eyes of God. Hebrews 4:15 tells us we'll all be tempted, but we can overcome these temptations. The best way to overcome these temptations is to place yourself around people with a like mind. And for us, that's people wanting to serve God. Opportunities like the youth rally, going to church, just hanging out at somebody's house, those are all opportunities for us to help overcome the temptations. Another way is Ephesians chapter 6 talks about equipping yourself with the armor of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it tells us how we're going to be tempted. Verse 16 tells you the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the realms you're going to be tempted in. But in verse 17, we find out if we are tempted, that we do the will of the Father, and we'll abide with him forever. If we don't fall into temptation, we'll spend eternity with God and with the saints in heaven, which I think is what we all want to accomplish. Something else important to note here, if we do fall into temptation, verses 13 and 14 of James chapter 1 tells us it's not God's fault, but rather our own, as we allowed ourselves to be drawn away from our own lust. So we know we're going to be tempted. It's kind of scary, you know. Oh no. How can we face these temptations? Well, verse 12 tells us we can endure and we will receive the crown of life for doing so. Verse 16 tells us you're going to be tempted, but it's our choice. It says we're told do not. That means it's our decision. We get to make the choice on how we handle these temptations that come around us. Verses 17 through 21 of James chapter 1 tells us to trust in God's word. God has told us through his word that we can overcome anything. And to do that, to trust in God's word, you have to know God's word. Psalm 119, verse 11, tells us, hide the word in your heart, and we will not sin against him. Romans chapter 1, 16, tells us, don't be ashamed of the gospel. So we need to be bold in our living so that you can fight those temptations, and you can show other people the proper way to live. We know that temptations will be brought before us. And, you know, I'd like to take the next few minutes here to talk about how we're going to handle them in a godly manner. So how are we going to handle dealing with these others? The first one I thought of was Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The first thing you have to do is determine that you're going to pick God first in your life. You're going to seek him first. And that we're always going to seek him first. When you pick God first in your life, it's going to show that other people will take notice. They'll be like, this guy, you know, he's different. He's serving God. And, you know, after you make that determination, people notice. It's not always going to be easy. But in Psalms chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, David tells us he's not going to be afraid even if 10,000 people have set themselves against us. I doubt that we ever get to the situation where we have 10,000 people set against us, but we will go through trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here Paul, he tells us of the trials and tribulations he went through. It mentions in chapter 11 that five times he received stripes, means he got whipped. Three times he was beat with a rod. He was stoned once. He suffered through three shipwrecks, plus more. And he did all that because he was going to be bold with his Christian living. And you think about all that trials, all that suffering he went through. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Paul tells us, even though he suffered all this, he's able to keep his eyes on the prize. And as a result, he fought the good fight. He knows he's going to receive a crown of righteousness. So knowing that we're setting ourselves forward and we're going to live our lives for others to see the proper way to act, we know it's not going to be easy, but as in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we must be willing to let our light shine. That means we've got to live our life in a manner that will bring others to Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, it talks about light on a hillside. I remember growing up in Odessa, small town, not a lot of street lights. I remember I used to go out for runs late at night, and I'd go out to the country and come back, and I'd go for an 8-10 mile run. And then I could always tell I was getting close to town because you see the lights. And, you know, it's drawing me to. I knew it's where I was trying to go. Also, Matthew chapter 5, it talks about you put your light on a candlestick so you can see. You don't put it underneath a bushel because doing so is going to cover up all your light. We want to let our light shine so that we can show others our good works. It will bring others to God. When we get put in these situations, people start acting kind of crazy. How are we going to let our light shine? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us that if we live our life in a positive manner, people, they'll notice, they'll talk about you, and you know they may even persecute you. But even though we're going to suffer now, we know that one day we'll be richly rewarded. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Be you followers of me as I am of Christ." How wonderful is it for us to be able to say, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ"? We're living our lives to bring others to Christ, and we're showing that we're committed to living our lives as God would want. When these tough times arise and the pressure begins to mount, can we set an example to show to others our love of God? Or will we be like those who just go with the flow, be willing to creep in? Nobody's going to find out anyway. A big warning that you have when you're dealing with other people is, first of all, be careful of the people you associate yourself with. Don't put yourself in a position that you know you shouldn't be in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 warns us that evil companions corrupt good manners, which it means bad company and will corrupt the good morals. I think of my son, Xander, and he's kind of a daredevil. He likes to sometimes jump from the couch to the coffee table. And I'll say, "Son, that's not very smart. You're going to get hurt." And he'll look at me, laugh, and do it. And I'm like, "All right." And then he'll keep doing it. And eventually, you know what happens? He falls and busts his head on the coffee table. You know, you keep putting yourself in a bad situation, bad things are going to happen. So it's best to just get away from it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, warns of being lukewarm. God tells us here that if we're lukewarm, we're going to be spewed out of his mouth. What that means is you can't just come to church on Sundays and maybe an occasional Sunday night, and Wednesday night if you feel up to it, don't have homework. You have to live your life and be hot for God. Make your decisions to put the kingdom first. It's a full-time commitment, but the reward at the end would be worth it. Jesus had a situation in which people were panicking and not showing their faith. And he took the opportunity. He didn't give in and used it as an opportunity to teach. The question is, what will we do? Because we know we're going to face situations in our life in which people will do things that we know aren't right. And, you know, they're going to pressure you to follow suit and give in with them. The decision we make comes down to one thing. That's found in John chapter 14, verse 15. It says, "If we love God, we will keep his commandments." How you handle these situations is determined by how much you love God. It's easy to say that, "Oh God, I love you, I'm going to follow you." But he wants more than lip service. He wants results and actions. He wants us to be willing to show others that we love him. See, I told you it was a quick lesson. I'm already done. So, what are the ways that we can deal with others? Number one, know what's before you. Know the temptations that set out there. Number two, know what it is you stand for. And the last one, be willing to set the right example for others. Doing those three things will help you with dealing with others.